This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, folks. Off in the press corps with it. Um, 149 Stockyard Road lease agreement, first item on the agenda.
So this lease that we currently have can continue just from month to month as it is. But Justin, who's there, he asked if we would sign another one-year lease agreement. If you read through it, there's no way to get out of it. You know, either way, we just have to give notice. But it just goes month to month. But with housing what it is, he would feel more comfortable if we would commit to another year.
Yeah.
So I just added the dates. If you are fine with it, I will throw it on the agenda tonight, and you can vote on it.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Why not Main Street 2024 revised CSA agreement?
So when we had to write that letter of concurrence, it felt funny to me, and I remember Scott trying to do the math and figure out how much went for the contract-sensitive amenities and all this. It was 3% if, when YDOT caught this, they went back and did their numbers. So 3% of the total contract YDOT will give to the city to cover contract-sensitive amenities. Now, we had decided to do the lighting downtown. That portion of the contract then came in at the, I think it was $356,713, and they just had us pay 10% of it, which was nice. But if you go back, 3% of our contract, we were never going to get more than $187,000. And that number probably sticks in Scott and John's mind and the mayor, because we knew we had like 187, and all of a sudden we only had to pay 33.
Yeah.
So we need for that contract sensitive amenities, and I will prepare the letter for tonight, but we actually need a letter of concurrence that we acknowledge that the total, I've given you the total project cost for that is $334,757. We'll get our $174,000 from YDOT as they promised, and we have to pay the remaining, which is a total of $160,376, rather than $33,993. So the contract didn't change other than we owe a little bit more on for the lights. We only get $174,000, I guess, for the lights. Does that make sense? Oh, I will. Say it in paper. So I'll prepare. Well, before it was 33,000, we're going to go to 160. So it's 145. I've adjusted the budget numbers for that as well.
Thank you.
So that's what I have on there. That will be, I'll prepare the letter, and you can vote on the letter tonight.
Madam Clerk, WAM resolutions.
Those were distributed to you by email, but I printed them out for you to read through them. These will be considered, there will be a resolutions committee for WAM. You can read through these, and tonight we will also choose, or you will choose the voting delegate for the WAM convention, which is in Pinedale. It would be nice that if we supported our voting delegate and told them how we'd like them to vote.
It would be nice.
Are you? Do we all know anybody's going?
Mike, are you going?
I was thinking about some pine gallery.
Yes, and I have rooms for everyone.
Yeah.
I think I sent you an email on
that.
June 5th, 6th, and 7th. But that motel, there's a 2-week cancellation, so I need to know.
I'll give you an answer tonight.
I'd like to know mid-May if you can't make it.
Which is tomorrow.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
I'll give you till tomorrow, mid-May. was trying to make a positive.
Just kidding.
Cheryl wanted to know if she can go.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tittle.
I dare you to tell her.
So
she
they can
can't.
Hang together.
You can like tell her. You can go with Myra.
I just wonder if you had a bump together.
So, I don't think we. I think some communities are voting on each resolution. I don't know that we need to vote on each resolution. Just what our opinion is for them.
After I've been to the Republican State Convention, I don't want to see another resolution.
What a party pooper.
Okay.
Oh, boy. So we got our wind. Okay.
Bald Mountain Sanitation Commercial Lawn Care Green Lease.
So I guess what it amounts to is getting a lot of pushback from commercial lawn people dumping their clippings in the dumpster down there. So what Scott has, well, not has suggested to do is that we put some signs up down there saying that he's willing to take that. Their clippings on at a cost of, I believe it's like $400 for the season.
Well, and he wouldn't charge us.
He wouldn't
charge
us
the commercial
to the
users.
Commercial user, yeah.
To dump their stuff there, because they are anyway. And it's really for residential use only.
And what else?
He was going to do $400 for the 7 months that those dumpsters are out there to the commercial lawn care people. Or if you're caught dumping there, it's $100
every time if he sees them there. And he'll just bill them.
Which I appreciate that he wants to take. I don't know how it works for us, but if he wants to take on the headache of...
Well, it's his equipment. I mean, it's... I think he can do it.
So what will happen if we say, no, 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 we don't want you to, you know, charge them this, or if we start charging him that, he's just going to charge us more next year because it's creating... He's losing money right now.
Those things fill up. It's... It's just amazing. They'll empty them in the morning, and by night they're full.
Ah. What did he say? Like 700 trips to the landfill
last year.
Oh my God!
And then,
well, I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, and I think it's wrong for those commercial lawn care things. They're charging a fee for whatever, and then making us haul it out to the landfill. I think they should have to pay. Mm-hmm. They're making money off of this.
Another thing that as far as talking with Bob at the landfill, an issue that we get is all of the garbage and trash that also gets thrown in there, which I really don't know how you monitor that, because it would. But the problem he has with that is when he dumps it out and he runs it through his mulching equipment, he ends up with wood and garbage and bags and all this stuff that he, it's hard on his equipment.
His equipment.
Yeah, so he spends a lot of time broke down for that reason. So, something else to keep in mind, he's addressed that concern to me. So, just something else to keep in mind.
Well, I suppose you could put more signage down there about
people read
these types of stuff to get up in there.
I think an education piece, probably.
Yeah, or maybe just the newspapers. So.
Well, I don't know that people understand that if you do this and you ruin the system, then the landfill starts saying, we're not going to accept this, and the city's forced to say, we're not going to do this anymore.
And that's where it ends up.
Is there a garbage can right there?
No.
Would it help to have
that thing would fill up
in an hour?
People drive down that alley behind my place, and they take all their use those dumpsters in the alley.
You look at on the interstate whiteout used to have dumpsters at the turnouts. Well, they quit doing that because everybody would drive out there and just throw their garbage.
See,
Mac
is out there.
Garbage really isn't that expensive.
to be sneaking down alleys stealing somebody else's dumpster. I mean, but there it is.
Yeah, I think if you put a dumpster out there, it'd be full.
It would
for you. It'd be full in a couple of hours.
I'm just trying to help Bob's machine.
Yeah, I know, and that's a good idea if it would work, but.
It created another problem.
Yeah.
You can put a roll on it.
No. Someone's going to abuse the system the next day.
Well, you know, pardon me, would rather have the garbage in there than along the creek or the trail.
True. Okay. Any more questions on Bob? Bob, no.
I can go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Major capital construction project.
So we went to bid for the lights on Cinema Drive and Flagstaff and Flatiron. Had the pre-bid. Went to the bid opening. No bids. So nobody bid on it. We actually reached out to Kroll, the general, on the Main Street project. And they're willing to, or they're interested in maybe picking some of this up. Haven't gotten any farther than that, but that's kind of where we're at on it. So we're working with them on that.
And the lights will be like dark sky issues.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So that would be the lights out there, and then the four or five that we have to move on Main Street for that project. Anyway, that's where that is. And the Wells project, we are waiting. We're down to the last final things on getting a letter of approval from DEQ. Last little bit from WWDO, and then if we get that out to you. So that's where we're at.
They are more interested in getting this project complete now?
I hope so, yes. We took some complications out of the deal by agreeing to pick up the rest. So. Took away a bunch of questions. And then wastewater plant. The meters. We're still replacing them. So going on. I mean, we're probably. A third to half done, maybe.
So I'll just tag on to that meter thing. Yesterday we got, so we can't quite read the meters yet, but Metron is watching it, you know, all of the stuff we have. And we got an email yesterday saying, check out this house, it's leaking, you know, so much. It's now up to 1,100 gallons a day. So, I mean, it's just, he's not here, but he can see that. Some alarm
it's
came up,
no,
so that I could.
I mean, it's just one of the features in the system.
Yeah, so that I could call you and say, "Hey, Mike, do you have a toilet running? Do you have something going on? You're using a lot of water right now." That we can see. That's kind of a cool feature that we have for the house, right?
Yeah. So what was it?
We don't know.
It was late. It's still late yesterday afternoon. Oh. Got a hold of me there, but.
What was it caused by that? Replacement?
What's that?
Was that leak caused by the replacement, or was that just a...
No, when I look through, I think his meter was broken before, because I see zero usage, whatever, and now I am... So something is...
It's like...
And then
just see something. Three quarters of
we've always had the graph, but you can see where it was this zero read all along, and then it jumps up, and something's on just constantly. And then you can see the, you know, run the washing machine, the dishwasher, you know. Mm-hmm. But something is just on, you know.
Well, I know when they replaced my water meter, I don't think they were down there 15 minutes, and it was back and running.
Well,
I don't know how you do it.
If everything goes right, that's all the longer it should take. But not everything goes right all the time. So
what?
Yeah, hard to imagine.
True.
And then Sunset, you know, they were planning on starting first of May, middle of May, somewhere in that neighborhood. They are waiting on some of the concrete manhole fixtures that, you know, once the bid was awarded, didn't have quite enough time to get made yet between now and then, but that stuff's on the way. So between that and the weather, it's still scheduled to kick off. Holding tight for now. All the submittals, everything's done. So. That's all I got on that.
Is there any news on when Whiteout's going to be starting there? They're going to have a public meeting to take talk to you?
Yeah, there is actually a public meeting coming. I don't remember exactly when that was. Or a pre-con meeting.
Yeah, I just haven't seen anything yet on it. So.
Yeah.
It is coming up.
I think Laura had called me last week. She hasn't scheduled the public meeting. They needed another meeting with her contractor.
There's a collaboration meeting, I think, and a pre-con. I don't know. But it's not the number of the dates on.
Any more questions on Capital Construction? Department head, Wills.
So the bore that we did out on the bypass road by Duffy's Bluff, that was successful. We got that in, got that line hooked up. Everything's done out there. Back in business. You will be seeing that we have to send out a couple more notices in the paper for water disinfection byproducts, and also we're going to have to send out a letter to the customers saying the same thing.
Is this now in compliance?
Not yet. We're really close. I mean, really close, but not yet. So.
I'm still drinking the water.
And it's just from your research, I understand it's just flushing.
Directional flushing. We've spoke to a lot of people to deal with this. We've actually reached out to a few of the surrounding towns to deal with it. Directional flushing was the
ticket
to get it out of the system. And so that's what we're doing. And it's coming down. And then we've got a few trees that we're going to take down the park. A couple we're going to trim up over by the tennis courts. We're actually going to start yesterday, but what was it? Quite conducive for that. And then there's a couple over the trail behind the horseshoe pits. The one's kind of a wiener, and there's a few there on the ground that we're going to clean up to get out of there. And the pond cleaning at the wastewater plant, we're probably half to two-thirds done of that. So that's going along good. The fence at the Deer Park lift station, because of that fire, we're going to have to replace that. I did get a quote on it. It's about $7,600. So move forward with it, getting that done. But
And we just pay for that?
Well,
and have insurance?
You know, I have spoke with our insurance about it. Not quite clear on that, or deductible versus what it's actually going to cost. You know, is it really worth filing a claim? Because I spoke with Trevor. He was going to get back to me on it. But either way, we're going to have to fix it. And as far as the cause of the fire and that, and getting anything out of that, I don't know that that's an option. So.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't arson.
It was an accident, so I think it's on us. I think that's all I got. Unless you have any questions.
Legal.
A couple things that happened this, over the last couple weeks. One was... think, a request by someone for the sale of municipal property at the end of Watt Street there. And if you want to sell any, it's for housing.
Yeah, I'm getting more questions on selling municipal property, and I don't know how to bring it to you guys. We just have them write a letter to you guys, and you guys yes or no it or whatever, I guess. And then kind of the rules, I guess, ask Dennis to kind of refresh us on the rules here of if we sold, what we have to do and the steps we got to go through, if that was an option, just so I'm relaying that information to these people, right? But I come in and all, you know, so I said I've been bringing it to you guys, and so I don't know what else to do other than bring it to you guys, and you guys can tell them yes or no, I guess.
Basically, I would recommend that whenever you have a piece of property that you're going to market, that you appraise it first, just for your own protection. It's not required. But then the advertisement, it goes in the Buffalo paper, local paper, for 3 consecutive weeks if you're going to award the bid at a public auction to the highest bidder. It's got to be advertised for 3 weeks. And then you decide based on those bids.
And that's the end of Lock Street?
Yeah, there's about 5 acres up there. It's on that hillside. I looked it up on the assessor's.
It's a hill.
Yeah.
By Juniper?
Yep. Around the corner there, Juniper.
No. Going up the
it's the end of Lock Street to the west. It hits that hill.
Yeah.
City somehow owns that, still owns that. Must have been part of the old Burlington addition, I guess.
So we've got a contractor that thinks he can do in hillside condominium type deals into that, and so he's interested in it to see if you guys would sell it for that reason, for building. That's his ideas. I don't know if you've seen some of these, they're doing like Utah and stuff. They're kind of built into the slopes up to, you know, it's a unique thing, but yeah, that's what he's interested in doing there. So.
And that location would be affordable housing?
No, I doubt it. Not the way you got to build those. There's a lot of, I doubt that would be the
case. So, housing.
Dennis, also, when we go to bid, this has been my experience, whoever's bidding on it, they come with, and it's a sealed bid? Before the bid, they have to, if we auction it, don't they have to come with so much money down, like a cashier's check or a bond or something for so much of the appraised price?
I don't see that in the statute, the only one I printed out was the manner of disposing municipal property.
Okay.
So it's not in there, but you could require that as part of the
process. I just
know
we have in the past, because we had some on the end of Conrad. We had one person bring the cashier, nobody else. I mean, it was just to show that they were serious about doing
good thing.
And then they never turned it in because they were, whoever brought the money, they just were planning on bidding on it because they didn't want it to go for some housing to go in there. And then when there were no other bidders, they withdrew it. So basically then we just advertised for 3 weeks and went and paid for an appraisal, and we did this twice and nobody bid on it. And
I think it's a good idea to require that in the bid documents that they put in some sort of earnest money deposit to bind the people who bid, because otherwise you could just throw bids in just to raise the price up so that somebody wouldn't buy it for some reason.
And that's what was happening.
So you could, and I would put that in, that there would be some sort of bid percentage paid at the time of the bid. So that forces them to think about it. That they would lose if they bid it up and then don't enter the contract. They forfeit that bid bond.
Yeah, so in that last case, it was there, and no, but there were no other bidders, so I'm not going to bid on it. And so nobody bid.
Yeah.
And so we had nothing then to cover any costs,
oh, okay,
other than interest from somebody who was interested in these lots.
That's the only downfall, Terry, that we can't pick and choose who we sell to. It has to be
right
the highest bid, so we could do this process and somebody else could outbid them in there.
Well, I explained that to him. I kind of knew that, so he seems up for it, so I guess.
Well, and how many people want to try to build on the hillside?
That's a tough spot, and that's another thing I don't know, Kevin, what your thoughts are on that property. If we're
is there a street easement? I remember that little house that we approved right on the corner there was Lot Street curves there to the south. And if Lot went straight, dead straight as an arrow, would go right up the hillside. And I think there was something that we had to give them a variance for that little corner house because they were too close to our easements or setbacks or something. But since the road has changed, it worked out. But yeah, I was just curious if there is a road easement up there that kind of can't build a house with the road easement going right through that side.
Well, I think there's an alley.
There is an alley
around the back.
Alley.
Yeah, that's what there is. That's dedicated on the map. Whether it exists physically, I don't
it
know.
Does.
Yeah,
it does.
So would the developer be required to bring that alleyway up to city standards then, or how does that work?
Yeah, but it all have to go through planning and zoning, whatever the development may be. So we'd have to go through that process and say, this is what we require or don't require.
Gotcha.
As far as that goes. So it's not just you get into whatever you want. It still has to go through all other standards. It's just more or less, are you willing to part with it or at this point or not. But
so
maybe you put in there that it has to be used for housing. I don't know if you can do that at one sale. Can you write in the condition that has to be used for housing so that it's not?
Well, sure, you zone it as residential only.
Are there any utilities running through that alley?
I don't believe that there is. I'm not 100% sure.
Straight up.
Basically, just a back access there. I don't think there's
anything. Yeah.
Okay. Nice sewer fall.
Yeah.
So is it the previous council's position to sell city assets? I mean, are we wanting to get rid of?
I've never truly been in favor of it.
So that's in regard to another point. I have a feeling you're going to see these affordable housing guys come back again. I have a meeting tomorrow with the housing group, and I think there's some Zoom meetings with some of them. And so what I'm going to tell them, if that's the case, they need to come through planning and zoning for if they're wanting to come back like they did that last year with that bang-bang deal where they were wanting to lease some land or whatever. So I'm going to encourage them to go through planning and zoning and then that, and then, again, more of a process to it rather than just come in and do it. But I have a feeling they're coming back, multiple of them, so... So that could be something you guys are seeing here is more lease options. And Dennis, I don't know, I sent you that resolution that Jackson sent to WHAM saying they could lease.
I didn't understand that resolution.
Yeah, we didn't
know.
Me and Julie didn't either. We were kind of...
It's in your... is to allow municipalities to lease property for condominiums. And it just says condominiums, not anything else. And so I'm like, we'll call it a townhouse or call it...
Apartment building. Okay. So that is a viable option to lease.
We've done leases in the past of city lands for construction of, for instance, the old police department was leased to a Colorado company at $1 a year for 20 years, and then in the end, it was turned back to the city after they built it. We paid rent on it.
And so then my next thing is, I know there's a lot of not a favor of not doing that, but if you were to do a lease, fair market value, again, get an appraisal on the land, and you're not giving it away at $1, if it would be more palatable to say you're going to get that far fair market value over the 50-year lease or 99-year lease, you're going to get that, plus you get the building back after that, if that was a choice, you know what I mean? So we're not just giving it away to whoever. I mean, if that's something we can build in, that the rent is $400 a month for the next...
You can do that.
30 years, I mean, you know what I mean? So the city's getting their money, fair market value, out of the land. It's more than a dollar, what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Not just giving it away to whoever.
Does that have to go to a bid process then? To a lease?
Yeah, no. Don't think so.
Okay.
One more thing, Mayor. This garage development that they want to put...
Base Camp Garages.
What's it called?
Base Camp Garages.
You're familiar with the council, familiar with that.
They haven't seen a lot of it. Chief saw some of it. Kevin knows about it.
But apparently they either wanted us or the city to put in the water and sewer inside of this property, but they weren't dedicated streets. And so my reaction was no. And so they came back and said, well, we can't, because they have to have a lift station. And what is the requirement for the sewer?
So the sewer is, yeah, they're going to need a lift station for where it sits on Escaldon to have a force it up to Escaldon sewer. And so me and Kevin have talked on that since then. They're willing to take the lift station. They're willing to say that's our lift station. We maintain it in a subdivision agreement or an infrastructure agreement. The problem they're running into, if with that many units, EPA is saying they have to have a level 2 water operator. If we were say that's yours, they'd have to have a level 2 water operator to run the system. And so what we're running into is it's a looped road. It'll be asphalted, but it's not a dedicated street. And so we've kind of worked through this. They put it in. They've structured their cost. We don't own the street, but they'll give us an easement. They'll put easements on the plat for the water and sewer. But they'll take the lift station, and then the surface is not ours, is what they're going to put in the subdivision. So if there was a leak down the road 3 years, we have to dig it up and fix it, but we're not putting the surface back. We're not doing any of that. That's their surface. It's their... So I guess me and Kevin have kind of talked about it, and we're okay with that if they take the lift station and the surface.
When you say take the lift station,
they'll maintain it.
They'll maintain it.
They have to pay the cost of it.
Yes, they'll put it in, they'll maintain the cost of it. So basically, they can dump into our main where gravity takes over, and we'll take it from there, but they have to give it to the main. And that's all at their expense and their maintenance cost.
Okay. And they'll pay for the power to run the lift station.
Yes.
They'll pay for everything.
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to say that the water system, it would just be the loop that kind of runs through the garage, which would, I believe, is going to have to be, and I could be wrong, but and it's a DEQ thing that decides that, but an 8-inch main that would run through there.
So are other garages have water and sewer?
No.
Yeah, I'm just like going...
So there's some of these buildings shared, and they don't have those in there, and they wouldn't have to have it, but that's how they want to do it. So I guess that's... They're what are they, a 20 by 50 unit?
Yeah, 20, 25 by 50s. And they're wanting to put a toilet and a sink in them.
Will people live in them?
No, that's part of the thing, is that's not going to be allowed. There's no living...
But how do you regulate that?
Somebody will back the camper trailer in there, and inside you won't be able to see him.
Good, possibly, but
people wouldn't do that.
They're gonna dump all the trash in our
business. Where's the dumpster?
We're not gonna get a bunch of turkey farmers in here doing this.
Do they pay a tap for each one of those then?
So they're going to have an inch and a half tap at each building, and then they'll sub-meter each unit. There's,
what is there, like 18 units to a building or something like that?
Well, it's quite some. It's 10 to 15 in each block of buildings. So they'll have a meter at each block of buildings, and then they'll have to sub-meter from there in charge of tenants, whatever. But I think there's...
Tenants?
I shouldn't say that. Owners. So there's, I think it's 14. It's four phases. They're doing one phase right now, which I believe consists of four units. But in the end, it's going to be 14 units, so they'll have a total of 14 taps, basically.
So if they're not living in, what are they using these for?
It's like a man cave. If you've got equipment, jet skis, four wheelers, you don't want people, you know, not parking it on the street. Storage units with a bathroom. Say you want to work on a hot rod at night, and you're in there, and you got to use the bathroom. It's
and there's 14 in each phase.
No. It's 14 total buildings, but each block of each building has like 10 units in it, 20 by 50.
So 140 people have this hobby of.
Yeah, they're selling like hotcakes. It's crazy. Sure, and there's, I don't know how many.
But they're selling without the water and sewer.
Yeah. Right. And then so, I mean.
I mean, if they're going to have a camper in there, they can use the bathroom in their camp.
So they could. Yeah, water had water. No.
Isn't there going to be a common room or something?
There'll be a clubhouse.
That could have the bathroom, the water, too.
Just all their access to that.
50 feet across.
Then you wouldn't have to have that.
That makes more sense to me, is just to have a common area with the bathroom.
It's a huge expense.
But this one's your planning and zoning.
And it's...
We're the preliminary plat. That's coming back this month. We rejected the preliminary plat because of this reason, just to get things figured out last month. So it's coming back this month. If we can kind of agree on that they'll take the lift station and surface responsibility of the future use. I mean, they're also going to slap a 2-year warranty on it, you know, which if it's done right, it should last years and years and years.
In the future, what stops them from coming and saying, well, I just want to build a little apartment on there?
They can't. One, they're drafting their HOA agreements now, which will be filed at the courthouse when said and done, that you can't live in it. Basically, we could come back and say, I mean, so on the plat, they will say no living, you know, have to document it very well so that we can come back and say, hey, you got people living in there.
So is it zone business then?
What's that? It's a PUD, Planned Unit Development, which can be used commercial or, so it's commercial. Yeah.
So does the council have a chance to vote on whether they get water and sewer?
Well, I mean, you could deny them, I guess, altogether, I guess. But they're doing it if they do it by DEQ standards and EPA standards, and they're part of the city, I don't know where that lies of telling somebody who won't give them water or sewer or
can't deny them.
Can't deny the sewer, but you can deny the water.
So the sewer thing is the main concern anyway, really, not so much the water.
They might lose a lot of water, I don't think.
They could put their little fire pits out there and have cake parties and wherever else they want.
Well, I don't know. They could. It's just like anywhere else. I mean, we can't really control that. I mean,
he can.
Yeah, he can. If they're breaking the law, that's one thing. But
I'd almost think they need water if you're going to have a bathroom, or they're going to haul water.
Well, their clubhouse they can make available to those owners for the bathrooms there, so you'd only have to have one or two or three bathrooms in the clubhouse and give them access rather than put water and sewer to each unit. Seems strange to me.
Well, it just seems like it will change. Right now, this is the foot in the door, and then.
Yeah. How would the city charge for the water meter? Would we charge one and a half inch tap and then charge additional per unit like we do for a motel or trailer park?
Part of the monthly fee, and the tap.
So they would be charged. They would be charged for every unit they had.
$75, it'll be whatever size tap they go with, plus $75 a unit on that. And then the monthly charge would be the per unit charge, like we do a motel, hotel type deal. So 20, whatever it is, per unit on that. So I guess either way, I mean, I guess this preliminary plat will come to you guys if it does pass through planning and zoning. It does have to come for you guys to approve the preliminary plat also. So if it gets through planning and zoning this month, you'll see it the following Tuesday meeting. And I'm sure to get you guys all updated on it before then. But that's just it, I guess, if we're okay or not okay with that. I'm going to run it through as, I guess, talking with Kevin, how we're talking through planning and zoning. And then if they make a recommendation to approve it, we'll send it to you guys. And if you guys disagree.
And these things aren't cheap.
No, they're selling, I think, for $150,000 in Sheridan fees.
But if you've got big toys, you probably have big money.
That's what I mean. So, like, I don't worry about them squatting there. I mean, if you're paying $150,000 to store your trailer, I don't think you're going to be squatting in your garage.
That's where I'd put my in-laws.
I got 10 days coming, so.
That's why he's so good.
Can you get one built?
You need to sign up right away.
Yeah. Can we get this done right now?
Anything else from
what's your feeling?
No, thanks.
It's something different, unique. That's where we're kind of struggling with this, because it's a new concept as far as owning building storage buildings for sale, for to buy per owner. So we've kind of had to go through, look at Sheridan. I've called Sheridan on what they did and stuff. And yeah, they got water in the clubhouses, and then a wash bay for, basically have a wash bay for their campers or whatever. When they pull them in, they hose them off and park them, but they don't have water. This developer is just set on, he thinks he can get more money out of them if he puts a toilet in each one of them, basically. And I can't disagree with that. I think, you know, if I was there working at night on a car or whatever, tinkering around, it'd be nice to have a bathroom in there. But
you could walk a few feet to the clubhouse.
You could, yeah. I mean, so that's just it. Whether the developer wants to spend his money on that or not, and whether, you know, like I said, I don't know. We can't deny him sewer. And so, at that point.
And I talked about this down at Wiscop a week and a half ago. Because we had a meeting about it just to look and see what we thought. And so I asked that question, like, you guys have any issues with, like, loud, you know, like, noise or anything? And they haven't, so.
Yeah, I love the concept. I just think it's weird to have water and sewer in each unit when you could have a clubhouse. I don't know.
But if it's a man cave and you get kicked out of the house, you get somewhere.
Well, that's kind of the point, to get kicked out of the house to make it inconvenient.
Come on.
You're missing the point.
I'm on the other side.
They don't put water in the units. Well, there's going to be a need to loop water line just for water for fire hydrants and fire protection.
But they're going to put them in. If we let them do it, they're going to put a hydrant on each corner.
Be farther to the hydrants. Okay.
Because that's where the thing is going to rest that day.
We're required to put some along.
More hydrants. More exciting stuff to come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Schoenville. Anything else from legal?
No.
Madam Clerk.
I had put in your packet the resolution for the mill levy. We do this every year. That will be on the agenda tonight. And then lots of proclamations tonight. We have
it's yours.
Give me 1 second on my agenda. Okay. We're having a JCPA update.
Yes.
Okay, and then we'll have Buddy Poppy Day proclamation, Mental Health Month proclamation, Arbor Day proclamation, Saturdays in the Square request, that resolution, and then the WAM voting delegate. And I'm adding the lease agreement. Was there something else I was
doing? Yes, lease agreement. No, taking WAM.
Can you do another add? Comp survey. Yeah, I don't know.
You're getting more coming in now after this last meeting.
There's been 300.
That's all I have. Which is only 10%.
Yeah. Really?
And that's county and city.
So we're all the other people.
Yeah.
Just look that sad.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Thank you. More Facebook orders.
Chief.
Sir. So I'll start with some good news. Our new officer started last week.
Is he coming tonight?
Austin and Matt, he was off today, but I can have him come in. Nice young man. So he started. We just put some stuff to bed. We do not have busloads of illegals in the town of Buffalo.
the incident that occurred, which I was involved in, because I ended up in the creek up to my knees. But so there was two gentlemen that got off the bus, the Jefferson line, not a bus of illegals. They got off the bus, they immediately went to the Cowboy, had enough money to get some drinks, then requested some ministerial aid. So they went out, they ran these two subjects, one of them had an open warrant through Texas, originally was full extraditable, so he was taken into custody. Texas then quashed the warrant, said no, we don't want him anymore. So he was released. We had a call the following day for a gentleman that was trespassing, said he was looking for his ID. He is a Texas citizen, a U.S. citizen, not illegal. Was told that day by a deputy, look, you can't go on private property. If you go back, you could be arrested. We got a phone call saying he was back. He was swimming in the creek upstream. We got there. He kind of ran from us, set the perimeter. Ultimately, that gentleman was taken into custody, charged with trespassing and interference. That's it. So there was some concern that the police just let people with warrants go loose. Because I have another state and it's a non-extraditable warrant, then we cannot take that person into custody. So good news about that is I've been talking with Amber Eggers from the chamber. She called me at the beginning of last week. That bus line contract is now null and void. May 21st would be the last day that that line can stop there and drop and pick up customers. So she agreed that, the bus was kind of becoming more taxing on our services than we were probably paying more in fire, EMS, police. And that's just another example of folks that are getting off that bus, especially there, nowhere to go, have enough money to buy alcohol, but then they want ministerial aid, which we're seeing a lot of is, and I actually had a gentleman tell me there's an online where people are traveling on everybody else's dime. And so I had a meeting with Ministerial Aid Association. They were having a meeting. We're trying to streamline that situation a little bit better to try to cut down some of the cost. But what they do is when they get a request, they call us. We usually obviously run for wants and warrants. And so that's the incident that happened that day. It was a trespassing. The guy was arrested, bottom line. The tents that were at Bomber Mountain a couple weeks ago were the Eagle Scouts doing their thing. folks that were here illegally. There's no buses coming to Buffalo. The buses that you see are either the normal tourism buses that come in, that Jefferson line. There is a bus that comes and parks and usually stays at the hotel, and that gentleman goes back and forth from Colorado. And so when he goes up to Billings, drops off, this is his halfway point, he comes back, he parks by himself, spends the night, and then does his travels the next day. So trying to put all that to rest.
So about the bus contact, the chamber has canceled it.
Correct.
But does that prohibit another business from picking it up?
It does not. So, and Amber and I talked about that, especially with like Loves coming in. My understanding is it used to be a Zip Trip, but they got rid of it because of the same issues, the destruction, the theft. So I think, yeah, I mean, I guess they could go to any other business in town and ask if they would like a contract. I'm hoping that doesn't happen, only because what we are seeing with the bus, I mean, it's more of a problem than anything. I mean, talking to Amber, they tried to say, well, you're going to lose money in the community, and I find that very hard to believe.
Well, I mean, just for clarification, the bus was out at the visitor center, which has zero. No services at the time that the bus stops. Yes. There's not even a vending machine for them to get a bag of potato chips and a soda.
Right. And Amber agrees, and so... Yeah, so she said the 21st would be the last day. After that, there should be no reason that bus is going there and dropping off and picking up. So we're hoping it bypasses us. I hate to say it, but it's just been more trouble than it's worth. Wyoming Downs seems to be packed every single day we go by. We've gone in and done a couple checks, and so far so good. No problems there. I guess they've been up and running for about a week,
two?
Was it?
A couple of weeks.
Yeah, so... Seems like there's a lot of people in there. We walked in, we were asked if we needed anything. It was, you know, so far so good on that end, I guess. So, other than that, that was my main concern, is that Buffalo is still Buffalo. No busloads coming in and being dropped off. So, I'd like to put that.
What about those Eagle Scouts?
Yeah, I gotta watch those Eagle Scouts. I think they're illegally dumping over there. So that's pretty much all that I have. Was at Wiscop a week and a half ago. Got a lot of really good information. We had a gentleman from Arizona there from the Border Patrol kind of talking about what's going on there and shine some light on, you know, how they are being, just the amount of folks that are coming through the border and the amount of give-ups. So I guess 5 years ago, folks were crossing and running. Now they immediately come across and give up. You know, they declare asylum and they have to have an asylum hearing within a certain amount of time, in which they can't do. So they're usually, once they declare asylum, they're pretty much released until they can have this asylum, which is about... No, they don't even do that. They just let them go. But I think he said it's like 2 to 3 years before they can have a hearing. So they're overwhelmed down there. And then we had Daigle Law Group come in, and Eric Daigle, who is an attorney, was a state trooper in, I think it was Vermont, Northeast. Anyway, he started a, you know, became a lawyer, and now he basically goes around and is a lawyer for different law enforcement. He does dissent decrees and policy, and so he was really good and kind of shined some light on policy and kind of what we're looking at these days with some of the cases that are coming out. So great legal update for that. And so that's been pushed out to all the troops. So other than that, I think that's it for me.
Any questions for the chief? Terry.
Wyoming Downs, they're on a temporary CO. I think this week they're going to restrike the parking lot and put a little more order into there for the parking. They've agreed to do that. They've been pretty good to work with. They jump and they say how high, so they're going to do that. They're going to clean that parking lot up, restripe it. They have some handicap spots, and they have to build some sort of a ramp getting up to that approach where it's basically a curb in front going in the doors. There's no handicap access, so they're going to fix that. So anyway, they've been working with us good on that. They got a couple more things to do before they get their full CO, but seems like they're willing to work with us and cooperate, so haven't had any issues with them. Dennis answered most of my questions. On the land for sale, do you guys want a formal, you want a formal letter from whoever's requesting it? Is that the way to go about it?
I think so.
Get it to you guys, probably. Okay. Another thing I've been looking at is a board of appeals for the building department. It mentions in a lot of our codes in the chapter 5, a board of appeals for the building department. Who is the board of appeals?
I'll have to look at it.
Okay, all right, if you'd look at that and see. I guess more or less, I was reading through, we've adopted the abatement of dangerous buildings and stuff, which basically if I go in and something's not livable or out of code, we can basically, I can write an issue to vacate or fix the problem, one or the other. But then there talks about an appeal process, so I guess from my knowledge, if someone did come and say I want to appeal, I don't even know what direction to go.
I always thought it was a direct appeal to the city council, but I'll have to look back. I don't refresh my memory.
All right. That's really all I have.
What about the bid? Did you see the bid for repair of the mural?
Oh, yeah. So thank you. Yeah, so I did send out that bid for the repainting of the mural where the repairs were made from Aaron Worker. Dropped that off yesterday, so I don't know if that's something you guys want to look over, if you want to do something about it tonight, or...
I didn't see a dollar amount in there.
Paper and double-sided.
I don't know about the rest of the council, I just like this thing to be put to bed once and for all.
And so he's agreed, he kind of gave us from this to this, but he's agreed to give us an itemized bill at the end. Down to the dollar what he spends on it. He's, in my opinion, trying to be fair on it. He doesn't want to lose money. He doesn't, but at the end he says, could be this, could be this. But he's agreeing that he'd give us an itemized bill at the end showing just what was spent where.
And so just for clarification, this is above and beyond the other portion that we dealt with.
Correct.
And I talked to Aaron for a few minutes about it too, and he was, one of his concerns on the time range is he's not quite sure how the new repaired material is going to soak into the paint, and he thinks he knows how much he needs, but he's not positive how far he's going to blend to make it fit. It's just kind of up in the air until you get in the middle of the process, and that's, that was, because he was asked, he kind of asked me for advice, would a range be good? I said, yeah, that would help us, the cheapest, and we get it done for the most economical possible, but he still covers his cost, because it's, you don't know until you get into it what it's going to take. Exactly. So.
You know, when I talked to Aaron Worker, and I can't remember, I went back and looked at all of the emails to do the original mural. They had a kind of a condition in one of the agreements or letters that there would be a plaque or something identifying the artist. And he didn't bring that up this time. I'm a little surprised. But he said everybody asked, well, who were the artists that developed this? And we don't have it on there. And he had suggested a long time ago, he hasn't brought it back up, you know, a plaque, like when you go up and see Mike Thomas's sculptures and in the bank, there's a little plaque there about who the artist is. And there's nothing on these about who the artists are, because they are really tremendous works. And so that's just something to think about. I don't know how much it would cost. I think we ought to recognize them.
It'd be his advertising, though, wouldn't it? So he should pay for
it. Well, he isn't in a commercial business of doing murals.
Oh, he isn't?
No. Just an artist we employed to do it, and he's not in business of going around doing murals.
If I can, the tourism board is working on doing QR codes with information for all of the murals and all of the statues throughout Johnson County. And so we may have some access to some plaques, but I know Aaron brought that up to us when we talked to him, that it would be really nice to have a plaque there, and it may be something that we can work together on, but we're doing a QR code to start with. But
thank you.
I believe it was 6 or 7 years ago when I was on the BGA, I believe the artists have the text for a plaque, because they talked about it. It's the one in Crazyman Square and the one over there in Margaret. The two, they had a plaque for each one designed, and I think they sent us a text, but we never, because the BDA was going to go for state funding as part of their grants, but we ended up not doing it. So, but I believe they have the stuff ready. It's just we need one on both murals eventually, maybe. And this mural on City Hall, it doesn't, I think his name's on the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
So this is something you draw a contract up to accept for this?
Well, yeah, if the city approves it, so I'll prepare a contract for this work if that's what the city wants to do.
I would like to suggest that we do this. I think our contract says that we'll maintain the surface, right. So to me this is maintaining the surface.
And going forward now, we no longer maintain the structure, but we're still required to maintain the surface, yes. Or the surface and the mural for in perpetuity, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To comply with the grant. Yeah, that was a condition of the grant. The city protected reserve.
Do we have enough to place this on tonight for council action, or do we need the contract first?
Well, I don't have a contract ready for tonight. He's got this. So I would put it off until the contract ready.
That's it.
Yeah. Any more questions for Terry? Scott.
Normally I don't have things, but today I think we need to begin the first steps of increasing this concession trailer food truck slash prices. And I think right now it's a particularly good time to do it because we're getting a lot of flack in the social media for no reason. But they're blaming us for restaurants closing and so forth. Saying, well, what's the city going to do about it? Well, that's one thing we have really standing out and looking at us is the giveaway prices we have for these food trucks. And they're getting to be more prevalent sometimes than the number of restaurants we have. And so I'd like to bring in an ordinance to change this. I'm going to consult with Julie to find out the appropriate language and stuff. But to get that considered before the council and the timing of it and so on, I think the ideal time is to do it at the end of the year. We've got a new year coming, but I don't know if that's going to be necessary or not, or it can go into effect at that time.
End of the calendar year, end of the
fiscal year. Is that what it is?
No,
I think it's calendar, but, well, I'm not sure.
Fiscal year.
Fiscal year.
June 30th.
Yeah.
I would think fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Is that when the anniversaries are? Let's see. $100 a year. Is that... go from
when
June
you,
to June?
Well, it goes from when we issue it.
Yeah.
So if you get it in August, it goes through July.
Okay.
So I would almost think that the time to do it would maybe be, you know, because we've had everybody renewing now for summer. So
yeah.
Maybe at end of season, then they'd be fine until they renew and then.
Okay. Well, we can act on it now and then have it go into effect. I'll work on that. That's all I have.
Vice Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
Councilwoman.
Okay.
Good. I guess just the pool board's chugging along. So, pool will be opening, I think, the Cape Holt is coming up at some point. Big swing. So, anything from GCP?
We'll do a big presentation for you guys tonight.
Ladies of the press.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we do have one little thing. It has nothing to do with JCTA. You guys were talking about putting a dumpster over by where the two lawn dumpsters are. They put a dumpster over there for the big baseball game that was just a couple days ago, and overnight somebody filled that full of somebody's house stuff. It's completely overflowing and all over the place. It's got stools and slides, and I walk over there both morning and night, and it was after 10 o'clock and before 6.
Yeah,
they
put blocks
around
or something.
Yeah. Nothing else for the good of the order. See y'all at 5.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.